Shall we sing 663?
Well, good morning and God's peace. It would be nice to be with you personally, but since I can't, I'm just thankful to be able to do it this way. The psalm for today is Psalm 107, first three verses, and then down to verse 22, which I'll read as follows in Jesus' name. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted to the heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and that he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we can come to you and knowing that you are good, that knowing that you are gracious, for your steadfast love endures forever, as the psalmist has expressed it and as we express it because of the experience of dealing with you in our lives. And you are pleased that the redeemed of the Lord say so. And Lord, we're thankful that we can say so verbally and in our hearts, even without expressing our voice. We know that you are good, for your love endures forever. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of gathering together this day of worship to thank you, to praise you, to have fellowship with you, and fellowship one with another. We pray that your presence would be with those not able to gather today, especially those who are going through difficulties and hardships of any kind. Give them comfort, those who are sorrowing. Give them strength and faith to look up to you, those who are going through any difficulties. Lord, we don't know everyone's problems and difficulties, but you know, you see. So, Lord, wrap your arms of comfort and encouragement around those who are bereaved. Wrap your arms around those who are just plain lonely, that they may know your presence and help in time of need. And, Lord, we pray that you would open your word to us today and give us words of comfort, of hope, and encouragement as we look again into that word that gives us grace, that promises us forgiveness, that promises us healing. And Lord, we're thankful for your presence that is with us today to do that. And to you, we will give grace and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. The gospel text for this Sunday, the 20th of June, 2021, is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, and beginning here with verse 35. And we'll read this as follows in Jesus' name. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy word, for thy word is truth indeed. Amen. We look at the reality of life, the reality of living. We go through many different experiences in life where we tend to question the Lord. We tend to question, why is this happening? And maybe more directly, we say, why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? There's so many times when in life we are directed in God's word to look to him, to look to Jesus. And we see in this lesson today this importance of this reality. The disciples were with him in a ship passing over the sea. And Jesus had been teaching the multitudes on one bank, and then he directed them to cross the sea to the other, because he had business there, as we will see. And they're heading over to Gadara, where we'll find later in the next chapter that the demonic was healed. But you see that he has business, and he knows that there are others that need to hear. So when they were in the ship, and it doesn't say really what size it was, and it doesn't really matter, but it says there were other smaller ships with them. While he was in the boat with them, it tells us about the wind. A great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Can you imagine? All of you have been in boats or ships of vessels of one kind or another, I imagine, in your lifetime. Maybe it was even just a canoe or a kayak. But you know, you wouldn't feel too comfortable if it was full of water or even close to it. So we say, well, humanly speaking, we would probably be rather fearful. Now, the disciples, it tells us, were very fearful. It says they feared exceedingly fearful. And when they expressed their fears, I'm sure, first of all, one to another. And that's what we normally do. We look to each other for help, for encouragement, in times of trouble and difficulty. But most importantly, they looked to the Lord. And when they did, they found him asleep. Asleep in the middle of a storm. And here they were fearful of their lives. And then they woke him up. And Jesus, when he arose, it tells us that he took charge. He was in charge the whole time, for he knows all about nature and the storms of and the wind, because he created everything. And so he knows how these things operate. And he says unto them, he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." See, the Creator can do that. The Creator, the one who is in charge of the wind and the waves, can do that. But they were not looking at him as Lord. And I wonder in life how often we kind of know that the Lord is in us and with us, but because God has given us the faith to believe that. But when we get into a jam, I mean a serious jam, is our first impulse to call on him? Is our first impulse to try and solve the situation on our own? I think that's a good question for us to all evaluate today. How often do we tend to take things in our own hands and with our own feeble minds and understandings, in comparison to the Lord's, that is, try to solve the situation? It doesn't even tell us that they began to bail. I mean, I'm sure if you've ever been in a boat where water's coming in, that's the first thing you think of. Well, what do we got to bail water with? Dip buckets of some kind and throw overboard whatever we can. But Jesus simply showed his command of a situation by saying, "Peace, be still." Isn't it interesting also for us to recognize that whenever Jesus appeared, even to his disciples behind closed doors, and in so many different situations where he appeared, his first words to them was, "Peace, peace." The Prince of Peace himself is speaking to you. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who gave his life that we can have peace and insurance of forgiveness today, is the one speaking. He is the only source of peace in reality, because in him we have God's peace, peace with God, peace in him, because he has taken away our guilt and shame from all our sins, not just part of them, not just some of them, but all of them. And through his word, when he speaks to us today, the gospel message tells us that we can by faith believe his word, believe his promise, because he gave his life, he shed his blood, that we could know the assurance of that forgiveness and go on through life in him and with him. And when we're in him and with him, he is in charge of all situations, even those that we would be fearful of, naturally speaking. I think it's interesting also that when he appeared to his disciples and when he was with them in the boat, that was his first words, "Peace, peace to the waves, peace to the wind, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. How many times when we hear the voice of Jesus do the storms of life cease and we have calm? I'm sure you, all of us have had different experiences in life. But this reminds us of the fact that we should never be fearful to that degree if we know the Lord. If we know the Lord is in charge of all the situations, why should we fear? We can do our part in certain situations, yes, but not to tremble in fear of what's going to happen. What do I do now? Trust the Lord. He sees, He knows, and He is in charge. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, Jesus says. Not the kind of peace that the world gives. The world's peace is actually, we could say, basically absence of strife. But the peace that the Lord gives is a deeper peace, a settled peace. Do you realize that Jesus also, or the Word also tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So next time that you find yourself fearful in a situation, recognize where that fear is coming from. Where was the source of that fear? The source is the devil, Satan, of course. He's always the source of fear. But when we're trusting in the Lord, when He is in us and with us, as He was with these disciples, we have no reason to fear for our life. We have no reason to not trust, because we know by faith that He is still in us and with us. And what did He say to us? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. What a precious promise we have from Jesus Himself. His peace will keep us trusting His word, trusting His promise. Whenever we need answers, where do we go? Hopefully, as believers, we go to the Word. We go to Him. We go to the source of peace. And we trust that He will give us His peace. We note here that He rebuked their fear. He rebuked their unbelief. He controlled the situation. He rebuked and removed their doubts because of His presence. Look at the lessons that this gospel message is teaching us today regarding our trust in Him as Lord, as our Savior, the one who is in charge of each situation in life. Again, how often do we find ourselves in some kind of a situation where we are fearful? We are not trusting. And what does He ask us to do? He asks us to trust Him. And He will guide us and direct us to do what we can do, but then to leave the rest to Him. And I think that's what's important, to be able to leave the rest to Him. When we have His wisdom from Him that's showing us that there may be something that is our part, then the rest we can leave to Him. He quietly and powerfully rebuked the storm, rebuked the wind, and nature obeyed Him totally and completely. Do we think things in our life are beyond His control, are beyond His knowledge or understanding? It seems that way to us. But in reality, if we have faith and trust in Him, we can know that His presence will always be with us. Not just at sometimes when we feel more like things are going okay, but it's maybe especially when they're not going okay and we are doubting. I think this story also shows us that the disciples were very human as we are. They had been with Him. They had seen Him do all sorts of miracles. And yet, when they were in a tough situation, they feared for their life. And He was there to quiet their fears, to show that His presence, His power, was in total charge. Can we realize that in life, we are put into many different type of situations? He had just been teaching them. And it's interesting because in the previous chapter, He tells us about earlier in this chapter, He's teaching them in parables. And then it tells us that He explaining all the parables to them and the parables' meaning. And it's kind of like He was teaching them theory, but now they had to get to the practical application of that theory. And this is in any job or work or in life generally. You can read all about in books the theory of everything, but when it comes right down to it, unless you have the practical application and practical knowledge, you're really not going to be very effective in that particular job or work. Oh, you may have answers. You may be able to know what to do, but it comes right down to the situation. It's only the people of experience, the one who have been there and done that, that really can come up with the proper answers to the questions and the solution to try and fix the situation. And so here the disciples were having real practical experience in their life of faith and trust in Him, because their faith was going to be tested severely. Their future was not all that rosy. We probably know from experience that they suffered many things on account of following the Lord. But here He's teaching them how to handle those situations, even when He's not there present with them. That's why they were so upset when He told them that He was going to leave them later. They couldn't understand it, because here they put their hopes and trust in Him to change their whole society and the situation. He was going to be the king. He was going to be the leader. He was going to be the ruler. But no, He had a different sort of kingdom in mind. The one that the Lord had created Him for. And He was meant to do. He was meant to come to this world, to give His life, to shed His blood, to provide that assurance of forgiveness that we all need, to know that it's because of what Jesus has done, because of Him giving His life, because of Him shedding His blood, there is forgiveness and peace for our troubled conscience. So if it's sin, shortcomings of any kind that's troubling, or just lack of faith that's bothering us, we can believe when we hear that word that those sins, those failures are truly forgiven, blotted out in His name because of the power of His name, and in His blood because of the power of that blood that was shed for us to assure us of His grace. That grace is real, real for all of us today, and real for all of us throughout the circumstances in life. even when we're fearful. What does he say? Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you through this. I'll go with you through the situation. And that's what we need to remember. So I pray that the Lord would help us all to remember that reality if we go through life, to remember that he will never leave us, never forsake us. And when we are fearful, turn to him, because he knows the situation better than we do, and he knows the solution much better than we do. So may the Lord keep us trusting and keep us in his peace. God's peace. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.